And that's why they call it spring break. What's going on, everybody? This is the Cover Bank Confidential Podcast. I think I used that term.
Did you use that phrase? Yes, you actually did. No, I like it. Week two.
I mean, it
still is.
Yeah, I mean,
till tomorrow.
I'm still very much on. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We keep it in.
Yeah.
This is the start of the show.
Yeah.
I literally drove back from Tennessee this afternoon. I've done nothing but drive for like the past 7 days straight.
Dad jobs.
I haven't even like gotten in my bed yet from being on the road. We're just in it. We're just here.
Yeah.
We're talking about what we've learned on our time away. So how's it going, Dan?
It's going good. I haven't done a ton of music stuff either in the last week or so. I will say I just upgraded my computer here to a new MacBook Pro with M3 Max processor, the biggest processor you can get. It's a lot of chips. And the purpose of that was that even the M1 I was rocking was a little pokey. Compared to previous stuff, it still smoked it. But you know, the videos I was doing, it showed the opportunity for an upgrade. I'll just say like that. Plus, my wife's computer died, so I was going to hand down the old one to her, and for her email purposes, it'll do really, really good. So I've been trying to get it stood back up. Getting us started recording tonight was a trick because I didn't have Zoom installed. We couldn't get Facebook to work. I couldn't get the continuity camera, which uses your iPhone as a webcam to work. A bunch of new machine startup kind of tasks. So kind of been down that rabbit hole for the last 48 hours or so. But but it's a good time. Once I hit bounce in Logic Pro, it's going to go fast.
You might be like, hey, this whole thing was worth it.
That's right.
Well, we just got back from a 7-day trip. We went to Kentucky around the Bowling Green area and spent 4 nights in Nashville. It was cool. Got to catch up with some old friends, do all the Nashville things, played a bunch of guitars, went to the Gibson Garage, and I got a chance to play every single one of those new Epiphones that they just dropped. And I'm planning on doing like a whole video about it. But the key takeaway, if you're just blowing through, is they are really something. And I think Gibson and Epiphone are on to something big. And then, got to see some live music and do all of those things. And it was great.
Nice.
In the midst of that, the thing that I really struggle with, because I really have to like visualize stuff when people are coming in with inquiries and stuff. So we had a few business things that came through while I was gone. And had a couple of the guys in the group kind of pick up the slack, but there's a few loose ends that I need to pick up. But I also booked a gig, a wedding gig in 3 weeks with a just total pickup group doing the thing.
Nice.
And driving to Alabama and just getting it out there. So it's been a while since I've done that. I feel like the last one I did was like mid pandemic. So I'll spend the next couple of weeks just working on my chops and making sure I've got my stamina back up because it's throw and go time.
Yeah. So this is pretty solid. This is content you already know?
Sure.
Theoretically.
I've done this gig before. I did it in a different position, and it really is kind of one of those things where whoever's the lead vocalist, which I'm not on this gig, I'm just playing guitar and doing BGVs, makes the show list. So I've got some stuff that I probably need to tell them that I already know, and then we can kind of work from there. But as of right now, I am booked. I don't know what kind of rig to bring. I don't know. I literally just know where I need to be and when I need to be there. And that's it.
Well,
hopefully the rest of it gets filled in.
It's a real good start.
Future.
Yeah.
And again, huge payday, solid work. So I'm not mad at it.
Very nice.
And yeah, that's pretty much it for us. We've got some prep work to do with the live band karaoke. I think that's the next full group event is going to be that the first or second week of May. So we'll be in the shed working on that and hopefully getting together to iron out all the stuff and add some special requests and all that good stuff.
Excellent.
All right, well, let's move into reviews. This is one that came in on Spotify. We had mentioned that Spotify now has the ability to leave some comments, and we got some. This one is from Tubu Meister on Spotify. It says, just finding your content, but so far so good. Rock on. With like 7 commas, it looks like.
Rock on is spelled like Rocone.
Rocone.
Yeah.
Like,
but
like,
we get it. We get the message. We will rock on.
We will.
Instructions received.
And like you said, so far, so good. It could,
yeah, it could go bad at any moment. Any moment.
Any
could come right off the rails. And there's every risk of that. Let's be fair. But
yeah,
appreciate that up until now, so far, it's gone good. Yeah.
Big thanks to Boomeister for the kind words. And wanted to drop our sponsor co-partnership with Gear by Seba. You can use promo code CBC promo 20 to save 20% off your order on gearbyseba.com. A couple of guys in the Slack have bought some new modelers, and one of them was the Fender Tonemaster Pro, which is something we kind of talked about, but not a lot of people have. Well, one of our guys has one, and I'll be dipped, but Gearbox Seba makes protectors for them too. So whether you have one of the Line 6 ones that we talk about all the time, or even some of the newer models, they've got you covered. So use CBC promo 20 at GearbySeba, CEBA.com. Save 20% off your order. Plugs over with.
Yep.
Yeah, no no other housekeeping things. I had a couple of new folks during the Patreon. You know, we're always having great conversations there. And again, I spent the week on the road. I know that you were doing some other stuff as well. And
yep.
it was popping off forever and always, which is great.
Indeed.
Okay, so this week we wanted to talk about something that has come up in a lot of things. I feel like I get this particular question on social media fairly regularly, and there's been some chatter about it on the Facebook group. And so we felt like it was something that was worth digging into. Now, I feel like we've touched on this from like different sides of the conversation, you know, talking about like breaking yourself into a new market or moving to a new city and that kind of thing. But we wanted to like talk through the steps and what it is you have to do in order to establish a new project from scratch. We're talking ground up. All you have is you and an idea and the desire to make things happen. So that's where we're starting.
Yep.
So if you were trying to get something off the ground, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that before or recently. What do you do, Dan?
So a few things. The first is, my advice about somebody who's just them and with an idea is that place of me and an idea is a really fertile and juicy place. And you want to spend some time there. You don't want to rush into, well, that means I need a drummer. Let me find a drummer. That means I need a guitarist. Let me find a guitar. Let me, you know, what should the logo look like? There's a lot of work and thinking and planning and imagination that needs to go into that very first thing before anything else happens. Now, that's another way of saying something that I have said since we started Lo these many years ago, which is it's all got to start with a brand. And I don't mean what the logo looks like. I don't mean the name. I mean what the experience is that you're promising the audience, or the experience you're promising the bookers, the venue. Probably those things go together. Just to take an example, I was approached with this really great idea that I didn't have time in my life to participate in, but it's a really great idea. The guy wanted to do a stripped down, unplugged Pink Floyd tribute, right? So the whole deal would be take great Pink Floyd songs, adapt them for like acoustic guitar and a keyboard and kind of slim down percussion and maybe a bass. Unbelievably great idea. That, you know, there are opportunities to book that like crazy. That would be, it crosses over between the tribute acts that charge a whole lot and a really lightweight production that could sell for less. And I've been at Pink Floyd. It's nominally Pink Floyd is my favorite band, has been since I was 14. And so much as I really loved the whole concept, I just couldn't face adding it to my life at the time. But, you know, so then you've got this idea, you want to imagine like, all right, what's the show we put on if we're that band, if we're that specialized, if that focused, and you want to work until your idea is that focused? What does the show look like? What does the audience look like? What venues are we in? What personnel do we need? From there, you can work your way to what marketing do we need? What, you know, and eventually, don't hurry, but eventually, what should the name of it be?
So, yeah. And a lot of times when you start talking in this kind of verbiage, people get a bit defensive, or they kind of bristle up because it sounds very businessy.
Yeah.
If you want to take it in more of a creative direction, you can just look at this. What story are you trying to tell?
Yeah.
And you're still going to use the same terms and stuff, but you are still looking for the ideal customer avatar, and you're looking for a target demo. And maybe you don't say those things intentionally, but we've always said that whether the branding is intentional or unintentional, it still exists. So 100%. The more thoughtful you can be about things, the better off you'll be, you know, trying to put it out into the end of the world.
Yeah. I think that our people, by which I mean you listening, I don't think we'll blow your hat off if we say, like, think about the show you want to put on before you start putting on a show.
Yeah.
Right. But spend some time with that. Spend some quality time with that. The story you want to tell, the way that you want to leave audiences, the experience you want them to have. Is it pure nostalgia? Is it nostalgia with a twinge of like, gosh, aren't these guys creative? Those things are all important to really think through.
Yeah. Once we kind of have all of that figured out, the next thing you're probably going to have to do is figure out how you're going to manifest this thing in like on stage.
Yeah. Once the idea is fully formed, then it's about, all right, what do I need in order to do that?
Personnel.
Yeah. Equipment, technology.
Absolutely. So from there, it's a matter of building up a squad of guys or gals or players or whatever you want to call them. And this is where things get a little tricky because I feel like most people kind of fall apart here because they don't necessarily have a network of people that they can ask to join a project. So
yeah,
this is kind of a twofold question of how do I find people, but also how do I become a part of this community that I may not be a part of?
Right.
So in most cases, that's going to be engaging in the real world in a non-professional way. And it's going to venues that play the kind of music you want to play, looking at the bands that are playing, befriending those people, sticking around, and making your intentions known without being like one of those people. Because I feel like there's definitely folks that I run into who say they want to do stuff, but it's really more about, it just gets kind of weird and awkward because the vibe's not there.
Yeah. Well,
so you don't want to be that person.
Do you know what the definition of creepy is?
Please tell me.
A person occurs as creepy when they have something they want and they're not honest about wanting it.
Oh, that's a cool way to think about that.
Yeah. So if you're there meeting the band and, hey, I love your show. You guys are great. I really want to do this kind of stuff. I'm super into it. I have this idea. Like, nothing creepy about that at all. It's totally above board, right? But like, if how you're there is ingratiating or with some agenda that's unclear but suspicious, that's where people start to get weird about your participation that way in the community. So don't do that. The thing to do is be above board. Look, I got this vision. I'd like to start a thing. People get excited about that and want to participate. I mean, whether they want to join the band or not, I don't know, but they may have advice, they may have thoughts, they may have, hey, have you talked to what's his name over there? Here's a venue that does that kind of thing. You get that kind of stuff when you're upfront about your intentions.
Yeah, it's just social interaction 101. Try to find ways to add value and not just take things from people.
Yeah.
Because that's typically how, you know, a relationship goes.
Right.
You know, mutual helping each other out.
Yeah. Although there is, I mean, calling it 101 kind of, there is this sense of like, I don't want to come across like needy, but if you come across like excited and I need some things for what I'm excited about, like that's a whole different ballgame.
And, you know, outside of the becoming a part of the community thing, there is going to be some personnel stuff that you're going to have to figure out. So whatever that looks like, if your town has like an open jam or an open mic that they do, it's pretty well attended. Maybe that's a good place to meet folks and see if you've got a talent pool that you can work with.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to use things like Craigslist. There's just as many slam dunk home run Craigslist stories as there are like nightmare Craigslist stories.
Listen, almost every great band member I've ever had came from Craigslist. Almost every single one. Aside from Taylor, my whole lineup is Craigslist wins. I've gotten some good couches off of Craigslist, but like I've gotten some really good bassists and drummers off of Craigslist.
That's pretty rad.
It's a thing.
And there's other networks for those kinds of things. I know there's a couple of musician focused networks like that. I've never found anything of great value there.
Yeah.
I just think you would think that it would be easier to find the kind of people that you're looking for, but in reality, it's just as difficult. Like in my world, if I was looking for keyboard players, it's not like they were all like living in this on this website that I'd never heard of before. They were already busy.
Yeah.
That's a totally different scenario.
Yeah. Well, keyboard players are.
Right.
I don't know why.
I'm just saying, it wasn't for lack of anything else. There are certain limitations.
Right.
So you're just as apt to find the perfect person on Craigslist as you are anywhere else.
Yeah.
And it is necessary because there are just people that they may just be new to town or don't quite have themselves established, and you can find some really, really great people.
I'll tell you, my best stories that way are people who I find who are getting back into it. They used to play, haven't played in a few years. They want to do it. And then when you sit down in the room with them, you have to include that. You have to include that, like, I'm listening to a drummer who has 15 years of gigging experience, but hasn't played since 2019.
Yeah.
Right. And expect some rust, but you kind of want to listen through that for the energy that's behind it. Right. You want to, I mean, my current guy, Charlie, I played an hour or two with four or five drummers. He was the only one who made me dance in the rehearsal room. And I was like, Well, that's my guy.
Yeah. And beyond that, like, the other thing that you also have to kind of reconcile is the available talent pool against what it is that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you're not going to find the right person on the first try.
Right.
And maybe the person that is available is the best person for that project for this moment.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to try something with somebody if you're not 100% certain that they're the right fit, because sometimes they'll surprise you, sometimes they'll rise to the occasion, sometimes they'll confirm your concerns, but you won't really know until you get it out there. And if finding the perfect bass player is the thing that's keeping you from gigging out, just hire somebody.
Yeah.
Because it's more important for you to be out there doing things. And I'm not saying, like, put out a crappy product, but be comfortable with there being some wiggle room in the delivery of whatever it is you think you're trying to get.
And look, every single thing that happens, there is a learning opportunity and an opportunity to grow as a band leader.
Yeah. I mean, like, even with, like, my original projects, there were drummers and bass players that came and went that weren't the right fits, but they still kept us out there playing shows to move us in the direction that we were going, where these bigger opportunities came along. And the playing in the middle is just as important.
Sure.
To keep things moving.
Totally.
And to get, you know, to get out there.
Totally. And standing up what it takes to have that hard conversation about, like, listen, I don't think you're the person to go forward with. We've all got to get good at that, because it's a thing we're going to have to deal with. So may as well just know that, as much as you cringe away from that, and I'm speaking from personal experience as much as anything else, you know, that is a conversation at, given enough time leading a band, that's a conversation you're going to have. And so you may as well get good at it. And get good at leaving them appreciated and, you know, not blown up by whatever it is. And, you know, it's a skill set that you need to build if you're going to be in this game, that it's just part of the deal.
Yeah. There's a bit of drama of that in the Slack group currently. Somebody did this and they did it the right way, and the person and their associates behaved poorly.
Yeah. Sometimes there's only so much you can do.
Yep. All right. So we've figured out the story we're going to tell. We've got a ragtag bunch of misfits to tell it. Now we've got to figure out where the story begins.
Yep.
And this is, again, this is another sticking point. This is the one that people really struggle with, is how do I get those first gigs? How do I get my foot in the door at these venues when, you know, I don't have anything before it?
We need to back up a sec.
Okay.
Gigging comes after some rehearsal.
Okay.
So we should talk about what it takes to get a show together. And listen, maybe backing up is not the right thing. Maybe, because I've certainly had projects where my first show was sold and I had to figure it out, and I had 3 weeks, which is a particular kind of pressure and a particular kind of joy, frankly. But in my current project, we took some quality time in the room and we built a show that we knew we were going to kill with. And it has, reliably. So there's that. There's that to do too, to find do a whole episode on rehearsal spaces. But then when you're in there, what is it you do? Do you, as the band leader, the person with the idea, remember from 10 minutes ago, do you come with the set list all prepared? Here's the material. Here we go. Or do you walk in with a strategy that is going to get implemented by the band in the room? And I think either of those is valid. I actually really love those times when we've talked about this, when the rehearsal time is not, here's a set list, let's prep it. It's, gosh, have we thought about playing this? Have we thought about playing that? It's this really creative and, you know, communal sort of exploratory times in the practice room, which are really, really juicy and great.
But throwing it out there too, you know, we're just getting started. We don't have these ideas. And sometimes we have to get out there and start doing the thing in order to figure out what the thing is.
Also true.
And so the New Strange was a way for you to basically take all of the stuff that you've already learned and roll it out with hopefully the least amount of steps possible. Like, you know, you sidestep all of the blunders that may have happened in previous projects. Like, you've taken all of that accumulated knowledge and you've just like refined it to just the essential steps. And, you know,
that's true. I'll say the crucial part of that is I'm not pretending it's a democracy.
Yeah.
It's a benevolent dictatorship, right? I want people's input. I want, especially when it comes to the content, the songs, the performance, all of that. If somebody else is going to book a gig, that's awesome. Love it. But I don't expect that. You know, I've been in bands where it was nominally a democracy, but most of the work fell to me, and we're just not going to pretend that this one's a democracy. I'm the band leader of it. It's how it goes. But yes, it was about taking the things I've seen work, the things I've seen not work, and get them to the stage as quickly as possible.
And if you're in more of a democracy, and let's just be perfectly clear, the concept of a band democracy is almost always, and I feel confident saying always,
yeah,
also,
yeah,
there's always going to be a group of people that are doing most of the work.
And sometimes a group of one.
Could be. But yeah, there's always going to be this kind of like imbalance of work to, you know, sway and that kind of thing. And you just kind of have to reconcile the dynamics of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But find those people.
Is it worth mentioning the counterexample, the one counterexample we know of?
The Pork Tornadoes.
Insanely successful. And they really have a really clear and even division of labor. I've never seen a band behave that way, and I've never seen a cover band be that successful. So maybe those things are correlated, maybe they're not. I don't know.
Yeah. Typically, there's going to be a core of leadership,
yes,
or ideation, and
yes,
you know, you have to work in those dynamics.
Yep.
And there's got to be conversations around that as well. It may be awkward. It's just like the conversations we were talking about before when you're letting people go. But it's better to have them on the front end and know exactly where everybody stands than to be 2, 3, 5 years down the road and nobody understands what's going on. And, you know, that's when feelings get hurt. That's when things fall apart. That's where relationships, sure, kind of implode on themselves.
And look, if your vision from now, 15 minutes ago, was 80s tribute, let's just say, and your, yep, bassist is suddenly like, listen, I really dig Weezer. We should do Weezer. Like, well, I dig Weezer too. It's just not the concept. And maybe we could, yeah, stand up another project, but it's not, it doesn't fit this project. And that's, mm-hmm, a thing you gotta, I guess it's fair to say that you either can hold the line about your original vision, or you can have a conversation about adapting your original vision to something new. Both probably are valid. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to do that. We're an 80s band plus Weezer. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Don't do that. But, you know, you may find along the way opportunities that are, if it comes up in the room that we all love some particular act and we'd love to be a tribute of that, and that's a better opportunity than the first idea, you want to be flexible enough to, like, you know, maybe that's the thing we should do and consider that. That's valid.
Yeah, but most people aren't going to do that.
That's fair to say. It's fair to say. Yeah. In an ideal world, you might be open to that. You're right. In reality, like, a leader's going to say, yeah, okay, good, but we're not a Weezer band. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say we've gotten all the arguments out of the way. We're a thing, or we're getting towards a thing. Let's get back to the initial task of we got to get a gig booked. How are we going to do that?
Well, you need some materials.
Yep.
I have had great success having some professional or non-professional photography done, and then building a piece of paper, a one sheet, two sides, one sheet, and then going out and pressing the flash, meeting people in person, having the conversations about, here's what we do. A shift I'm making in the one sheet for The New Strange right now, the first version of it, the current version I'm handing out, is very oriented. One whole side of it is oriented around our bios. Mm-hmm. And that's because as a new project, I wanted to draw on the fact that all of our members are veterans. You haven't heard of us, but you know of the band I was in before, you know, the band Taylor was in before or, and currently for her. And my bassist, my drummer have also been around a long time. We're not new to the deal, even though the project is. I had a whole side of my one sheet dedicated to that. And it was probably appropriate 2 years ago when I was starting this project, but I don't think it is anymore. And so I need to revise it for that. You want to think about what does my marketing content, which when I, as I hand it out, it's a piece of paper, two-sided piece of paper. What's the message I want to deliver? There were two things that I wanted to deliver in the first version of this. One was, you've never heard of us, but we've been around and we know what we're doing. And the second was, we play everything. So on the facing side, among other things, there was a section that was a sample set list and it was designed to show our diversity. I'll probably keep that because that's a big selling point for us. People always talk about, like, I love how you just jumped around all over time and genres and eras and all this stuff. So you want to think about what your content, what the material you're handing out, and I really think it needs to be physical, says about you. What's the story it's telling about the show you're going to put on when they book you?
So if you don't have that, you know what you need? You need connections.
Connections. That's the other way.
So there are two ways to get into venues. It's having something that is compelling to show to people, and it's having a reputation in your market as a person who can stand stuff up.
Yep.
Because I've been in both sides of that situation, and being connected is way easier because you just go, hey, Bill, it's me. I want to do this thing. Do you have any openings for like a 30, 45 minute set where we could just kind of get out there? That's way easier than going, you don't know me, and I have nothing to show you or let you listen to. But we are trying to play a show. And listen, you're going to, at some point in your music career, be exactly in that position.
Yep.
And that's where you need to start being creative. That's where you need to start looking around at what is out there. So like we were talking about earlier, are there open jams? Do you have open mics? Are there any bands that are a little further along than you that you could partner up with? And again, this is not a whatever. It doesn't matter what genre of music you play. This is all practical.
100%.
You can partner with people who are further along. You can find booking agents and offer to do opening slots. There's a lot of tactile stuff that you can go in and you can do. You could volunteer to do things as a solo acoustic or a duo paired down. Just different things that you can offer, and just know that the experience is the main objective, and that there may not be an immediate payoff for doing those things, but know that going out and doing it is the victory.
For sure. Yeah. Every stage hour improves what you're doing. And, in my last Saturday afternoon tour of booking opportunities, I had my drummer Charlie with me and we went to four or five different places. And in all but one of them, the very first thing out of my mouth, because I was looking at the space and looking at the kinds of people that are on their past events in their Facebook, I said, look, we're a four-piece electric band, big energy party band, but we do a variety of sort of stripped down acoustic unplugged versions of that. And everybody I talked to was like, oh, great. Yeah, good. So you do want to be prepared to have your vision be available in a few different modes, right?
Yes.
Charlie and I've done a couple of shows where he was on cajon and I was on acoustic and we just jammed and it was fun and it was easy because he's got big ears and a lot of skills and he can, I could throw him a song we've never rehearsed and he can totally keep up with me. That's a thing that happens. So yeah, I want to be prepared for some flexibility in your offerings. Even on the balls of your feet, they're in the venue looking at him, talking to the manager. Here's what I do.
Yeah. There's not any, I guess what we've just landed on is, there's a counterpoint to most every other point. And
yes,
there's a thousand different ways of doing it. But ultimately, the thing that you're trying to do is to build a reputation.
Yeah.
And the reputation, it happens through the patrons of the venue that you're playing at. It happens with the employees of that venue. And just overall, it's really nice. Like whenever I'm out and someone goes, oh, you play in a band? Well, who are they? And I can say, oh, I'm in Members Only. Everybody knows the name because we've done that work.
Yeah.
And it makes every part of the conversation after that so much easier.
Right.
because they understand, like, all right, this is an established group. I've heard of them before. They played this place and this place, and I know so-and-so, and they played with them. And like, that junk matters. Reputation yes. is huge.
Yes.
And it is the way that you will find success, period.
Period.
At whatever level.
Yes.
So I think that's it. I mean, we could delve into any one of those topics.
I mean, listen, we've covered, I mean, we have delved into a lot of these topics pretty deeply in the past, but I like that this is a cover, an approach across sort of the view of
the spectrum. Yeah.
Idea to stage, right?
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about what does that first gig look like? That's a yeah. whole thing we can get into. But yes, I think for in terms of getting a project stood up from concept to first gig, I feel like we covered it pretty well.
If you can think of any other things that we didn't talk about that you feel are essential, leave a comment. Let us know. coverbandconfidential@gmail.com. We love the input from everybody. And, you know, we have the perspectives that we have based on our experience, but markets are different. Scenes are different. Different genres of music. Lots of perspectives come from. We love hearing from you.
Yep.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really love getting all of the feedback, and you know, I feel like we're on this upswing. Things are going pretty good for us, and we just really appreciate it. And if you want to support the show, you can do a number of things, but we'll let Mike tell you those. So I'll go ahead and call it for this week. In Atlanta, Georgia, I'm Adam Johnson.
In Greensboro, North Carolina, I'm Dan Ray.
You have been listening to the Cover Band Confidential podcast for the week of April 12th, 2024.
Hey, everybody. It's Mike Schulte from the worst name band in America, the Pork Tornadoes. I listen and love this show, and apparently you do too, because you made it this far. No one makes it this far, but you did, which means that you owe Adam and Dan. This podcast is free, and you consume it to its fullest. It's time to pay up. Here's three things you need to do. A, you have to leave them a review on your podcast platform. You're already in the app. Click 5 stars right now. Write some words. Done. While you're there, share this episode to a fellow musician. There's a share icon on your podcast app. Text it to him and say, you need to listen to this. You need to get better. You're not a good musician. This will help you. Two, you have to follow them on your social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Go find them and follow. And D, everything I just said is free and it's the least you can do, but here's where you can really support. You join the Patreon. This is where you can actually support this podcast that you cherish so much. A small monthly donation gets you access to the Slack channel, which is the best place to be if you're a musician who wants to take your band to the next level. You have some of the best musicians giving advice and helping you out, and it's just a great overall community. Do it. I'm serious. Do it now. Do all these things, or else the Pork Tornadoes will come to your town, book a show the same night as your band at a different bar. I'm serious. We'll do it.